Good morning. Today is one of my favorite days is Baptism Sunday, and we don't really have a set time where we do baptisms. I basically have us do baptisms whenever I feel led to, but today is Baptism Sunday, and we're so thankful that we're able to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of people in our church. I'm going to talk about baptism today. I actually wrote a sermon on Thursday, and I normally run through it on Friday, and I didn't even get started running through it, and God just led me in a completely different direction, and yet we're still talking about baptism. So before we dive into it, let's talk about what baptism is. Simple definition is baptism is the public declaration of a private decision. It's the public declaration of the private decision that you gave your life to Jesus, that you surrendered to Jesus, that you are a follower of Jesus, that you repented of your sins, and that you've turned to Him. Baptism in itself is not the decision. The decision should have already been made by the time that baptism is coming about. And so those that are being baptized today are publicly declaring to the whole world that you are a follower of Jesus. In fact, in the history of the church, baptism has been one of the things that showed that you were a member of the body of Christ. If you were baptized, everyone knew you were a Christian. If you were baptized, they knew that you were a follower of Jesus, that things were different. And I was thinking that back in the early church days, those that were being baptized, publicly declaring their faith in Jesus, you do realize that they were basically had a target painted on their backs after that. That those that went public with their faith could potentially be killed for being a follower of Jesus. And we're thankful that we live in a nation today where we do not have to worry about that, but I'm not sure we're going to have to not worry about that for the rest of our lives. I think there will be one day those that are being baptized are making a major statement to the world that they're no longer a part of the world, that they are part of the kingdom of God. As we talk about baptism, I do want you to know baptism is biblical. Baptism actually has pre-Christian roots. A lot of people don't know this. We do know about John the Baptist. He was not the first Baptist. He was John the Baptizer. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And when he was baptizing them, they called it a baptism of repentance. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. He went in all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So the idea around this baptism was that it washed you clean, that it was a representation that you were choosing to live your old way of life and that you were preparing yourself for the coming Messiah. So those that were coming to John were saying that they were turning from that previous life and they wanted to be clean or set apart for God. We do know John's baptism, he told us it pointed to a greater baptism. In verse 16, he says, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." He says that this water baptism points to the baptism where you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We know actually baptism goes back to Jewish roots, and it goes in sort of that same sort of principle about repenting of our sins, washing away of our sins. And so baptism existed before Christianity, but now when we talk about baptism, the baptism we're doing today is a baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Christian baptism. We know Jesus was baptized by John. It was a water baptism, and Jesus is the example that we are called to follow. So if Jesus was baptized, we should be baptized as well. We know the early church, we've already read this verse today, but the early church baptized. At the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and they basically said, "What should we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." Repent was the private decision. Be baptized was the public declaration. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a way to cap off a day of ministry, the day that the church received the Holy Spirit, the day that the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. They capped it off by baptizing thousands of believers in the name of Jesus Christ. And that leads into this. Baptism is a celebration. Baptism is a celebration of what God has done. We just did a series on grace. Baptism is celebration that by the grace of God, that God has changed us. I thought it would be appropriate for us to look through some of the pictures. In our 6 years of existence, I think we baptized around 25 individuals in our church since the start. So I don't know what order these baptisms are, these pictures are, so let's go through them. That is Avon, right? I've got to get the twins straight. That's Avon being baptized. That was September of 2020. Next one should be Banks, yep. There's Lucas. Lucas, I picked the most flattering picture I could of you, and that was basically it. We did that one week before. There's Andrea. This is our 2016 service. We baptized 15 believers at our first baptism service. That was the year our church started. And you can see we're at Seagrave Elementary School. Who's this young man right here? You know, yes. David was not, he did not plan to get baptized that day. But the Spirit, obviously, the Spirit led him to be baptized. And I knew as soon as I saw the tears start flowing, I was like, this guy's getting dunked today. I told him, I says, I'm going to put a picture up when you look young. He don't look young now, but he looked young there. Let's go to the next one. This is Tina. This was in 2020 as well. Tina, I don't know how many of you know her story, but she has had cancer for many years. She was told that she would not live very long, and Tina's still alive today. Tina's not able to make church every Sunday, but she wanted to be baptized. Because she knows how faithful God has been to her, and she has been faithful to him in return. That was one of a very special baptism for me. Let's go to the next one. This is Miss Ruth back in 2016. Miss Ruth was how old at this point? In her 80s? 83, 84. And she told me she's never been baptized. She said the Baptist tried to baptize her, and she wanted to wait. But she told me she wanted to be baptized, and I said, do you want me to dunk you? And she said, yeah, we might as well do it right if we're going to do it. And so Miss Ruth was baptized that day. Out of that family, David, Ruth, Andrea, we baptized four generations of that family in our church in 6 years. That's a testament to God's faithfulness. Let's go to the next one. That's the 15 that were baptized that Sunday. In 2016. So we're so thankful for the way that God has moved. We're so thankful for the way God has worked. That's all of them, isn't it, Zach? Okay. We're so excited for that we get to baptize more people today. And so as we prepare to celebrate the baptism of other individuals into the church today, let's talk about three things. I'm going to talk to you about three things today that are declared through baptism. First one is this. Baptism declares we are part of God's kingdom. Baptism declares that we are a part of God's kingdom. Before we come to faith in Jesus, whether we realize it or not, we were all a part of the kingdom of the world. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, this verse was used multiple times through the Grace series, but it came back up here. Paul says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, who is the commander of the powers in the unseen world. In fact, Paul says he is the spirit that is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. He tells us that before Jesus, before you came to faith in Jesus, once you were dead in your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. You followed the ways of the world. And we're told here that we obeyed the devil, who is the commanders of the powers of the unseen world. We were a part of a kingdom that was not the kingdom of God. It was the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of the world. And that king has a prince, and his name is Satan. That kingdom has a way of living, which is the way of sin. In fact, when we were members of that kingdom, we were slaves to sin. The devil, the world, our sinful nature, our flesh, all led us to sin. And as we have talked about during the previous series, we were dead in our sins. We were dead in our transgressions. We had no hope but God. Paul continues, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. While you were a part of the wrong kingdom, while you were part of the kingdom of this world, and I'm going to tell you that every member of the kingdom of that world has an eternity of suffering in their future. In fact, those that are living as a part of that kingdom today are suffering here on earth, and they will suffer even greater in the future. But God has made a way for us to be a part of a new kingdom, his kingdom. Paul tells us in Colossians 1:13 that God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We couldn't choose because we were dead in our sins, because we were dead in our transgressions, because we literally had no power to switch kingdoms. The way Paul words it there is that he rescued us. He took us out of that kingdom and pulled us out and rescued us and brought him, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. It was only by God's grace that you have been saved. You become a part of God's kingdom, though, by choice. You have to choose to accept his invitation to be a part of his kingdom. He's made a way. Going back to our sermon, Easter sermon, we use this back here as the grave. And let's see if the trash can's still back here. No, someone took it back. We talked about how God made a way for us to come out of the grave, but it's up to you, by faith, to take the way out of the grave. He's made a way, he's made a path, he's rolled the stone back, but we have to choose to accept that invitation to get out of the grave, to enter into his kingdom. And you do that when you come to faith in Jesus, when you make him the Savior of your life, but not only the Savior, and this is a key part, church, you've got to make him Lord. You've got to make him Lord. Because his kingdom has a king. In fact, the kingdom of God belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The way things work in a kingdom, you have to obey the king. And so as members of God's kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, we must obey our king. Romans 6:11, we're going to be in here a good bit today. Romans 6:11, it's one of my favorite passages to preach out of with baptism. But in Romans 6:11, Paul says, you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. That those who are members of the kingdom of God, you don't have to follow the ways of the kingdom of the world anymore. You are no longer a slave to sin. Instead, you're alive to God. You're alive to Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So now you should consider yourself, Paul says, to be slaves to righteous living. Romans 6:18. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. That means, church, that we must focus on living and following the ways of the kingdom of God. And so when we baptize people today, I want you to know that when we dip people into that water, that going down, that act of going down, represents that person who used to be ruled by sin, that person who used to be a member of the kingdom of darkness, they're gone. They're dead. Their past, their way of living, their sin is all buried in that water. It's left because we have been wiped clean by the power of the Lord Jesus through his grace at work in our life. And when we bring them back up, they arise as a new person. And that new person is a member of the kingdom of God following the ways of Jesus. Now, obviously, when we talk about baptism, that don't happen in baptism, but baptism is symbolic of how that should have already happened in the lives of Christians today. But now, if we're being honest, living as a member of the kingdom of God is tough sometimes because our sin nature is still there. We live in a world still ruled by Satan with temptations all around us. That's where, church, we must rely on God's grace. See, we have a king that doesn't sit all high and mighty on his throne and never lowered himself to be a part of us and to experience our struggles. We serve a king that did, that knows your struggles, knows your sufferings. Yet through it all, he didn't sin. And he can lead us and he will empower us to live in obedience. Continuing in Romans 6, 10 through 11, when Christ died, he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. And so Paul says, you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Verse 13, Paul says, here's how you do that. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. He says that we are dead to sin, we're dead to the power of the kingdom of darkness, and we need to give our bodies, give our lives, give yourselves completely to God, to the king of this new kingdom. Surrender yourself to him, and he will empower you to do what is right for the glory of God. We serve a good king. So those that are being baptized today are declaring they're part of the new kingdom. Second thing is baptism declares we are part of God's family. For Jesus, we obviously had earthly family. Some people didn't have an earthly family, or at least not a good one. We were actually all a part of Satan's family. We know Satan has a family based off of a few verses. First one is in John 8:44. This is Jesus talking. He says, you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a real winner, isn't he? He's talking to a group and he says, you're children of your father, the devil. So that indicates to me that Satan is the father of this family, and this family is made up of people who live in sin. Satan actually trains his children to follow his ways. 1 John 3:10, he says, now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. So basically, John's telling us that you are either a part of the family of God or you are children of the devil. There is no middle ground. There's no fence post. There's no middle ground for you to sit on. You're either a part of God's family or you're a part of the Satan's family, the devil's family, the family of darkness. And he is training his children to create chaos here on earth. And we are seeing that play out before our very eyes. This is exactly why people don't know what gender they are, thinking that they can switch genders. This is exactly why marriage and family and everything like that is being torn down. This is exactly why we see wars and killings and murders and all the things that we have going on in the world today. It's because people are a part of Satan's family. They're following him and they're living in sin, and that's creating chaos in the world today. It's creating a mess. And they don't have to settle for being a part of that family. And I can tell you, being a part of that family is horrible. Because if you're creating chaos, you're experiencing chaos. And so members of that family end up alone. Devil ain't going to comfort you when you're down. They end up anxious because of all the chaos going around them. And they're angry at the world and angry at themselves. But aren't you thankful that Jesus provides us with a family? Jesus has come so that we can be a family. In Ephesians 1:5, Paul said this, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He adopts us. He didn't have to. But he has adopted us into his own family through Jesus Christ. This is kind of the theme today. We talked about the devil has a kingdom. God has a kingdom. God's made a way for you to leave the devil's kingdom and come to God's kingdom. The devil has a family. God has a family. Through Jesus, you can cross over and be a part of this new family. Jesus created a new family here on earth upon his arrival, and he made a way for us to be united under God. This family is made up of diverse people. We know Gentiles who are non-Jews. Ephesians 2:19, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. And I know I'm thankful for that, and you are too, because about everybody in here would not be able to be a part of God's family if it wasn't for Gentiles being able to be a part of the family of God. This family has people that look different from us, that have a different skin color, that live in a different place, speak a different language, maybe even have different political views. People that like different things than us. But we are all united under Christ Jesus. This family is a place where you can belong. A place where you are loved by the love of our Heavenly Father, and a place where you have a new family united under our Heavenly Father who loves you. This family is a place where you are loved unconditionally. And may I add, truthfully. Not love that leads you astray, but love that leads you to righteousness. Or at least that's how it should be. Don't you know that people need a place to belong today? People are craving for real love and real relationships. People are craving for attention. People are craving for authentic community. But we go about it the wrong way. We try to do whatever we can to make people love us. Social media, in fact, is designed for us to put out our highlight reel. Just to try to get people to like it, to love it, to give us attention. We are searching for love in all the wrong places, and it only leaves us empty and craving for more. But God's family is a place that anyone can belong in. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you have been, how messy your life is. All that matters is that you are following God and are committed to following God for the rest of your lives. All that matters is that you have been transformed. Those that are being baptized today are declaring that they are part of this new family. And when you are being baptized, you are symbolically uniting yourself with Christ in his death and resurrection. Paul said this in Romans 6, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was." Those that are being baptized today have on their shirts "raised to life." Comes from that verse. When you're being baptized, you are symbolically uniting yourself with Jesus. He died. He was in the grave. But he rose with new life. And we die. Our old self is gone. Our past, our sins, everything is buried in the grave. And we are raised with new life in him. So those that are being baptized today are saying, "Yes, I've experienced that death to my old self. Yes, I am united with Christ." And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. This family that we are a part of, God's family, is made up of new creations. Made up of new people. People who have been made new. Who are following God together. Who love one another and love God. So if you're being baptized today, you're declaring that to the whole world. When you come out of that water, it represents the new life you have in Christ. So those who are being baptized are declaring that they are a part of a new kingdom and a new family. The third thing is baptism declares that we are a part of God's team. God's team. You could even substitute God's army in there because there's a war going on right now. And I'm not talking about the war in Ukraine. There's a war going on right now between two teams, between two armies, between two kingdoms, however you want to describe it. It is the forces of darkness versus God and the forces of light. And we are caught in the middle of that war. Every person that is alive today is caught in the middle of that war. In fact, the war is over us. The devil wants to stop as many people as possible from leaving his kingdom. Any good king would want people to not leave his kingdom. He is wanting people not to leave his kingdom, but actually more importantly, and really his desire, is that he doesn't want people to experience life. He doesn't want people to love God. He doesn't want people going over to God's side, going over to God's kingdom, going over to God's army. God, though, wants as many people as possible to come to his kingdom, to come to his team, to come to his side. And every person that is alive today is on a side, whether they realize it or not. In fact, Paul describes us in Romans 5:10 that before Jesus, he said, "For since our friendship with God was restored by his death, by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies." So Paul describes that we were still enemies of God before we come to faith in Jesus. That we are enemies of God. We're on the wrong team. We're playing for Satan's team. And our sinful actions are actually doing exactly what Satan's team is designed to do, which is to lead people away from God, to create more chaos in the world today, to hurt people, to try to lead them away from the goodness that God is. But I am so thankful that God made a way for us to join his team. He made a way for us to switch teams. And so those that are followers of Jesus are now playing for God. And we're fighting against the devil. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies." That's often who we think we're fighting against. That's what we see. But Paul says, our battle, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against all evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our battle is being fought in the spiritual realm. The people that are doing all the bad stuff here on earth, they're not our enemies. Our enemy is the forces of darkness. And as members of this new team, as a member of God's team, we fight for the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Well, you know, if there's a game going on, each side's trying to push back against the other, what our goal as members of this team is, we're to thwart the enemy's plans. As with any team, you're trying to win the game. And in terms of winning the game here, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus. Another way of describing that is we're to try to bring as many people away from Satan's team, away from Satan's kingdom, that's going to lead to death, into the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus said that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Well, gates don't move, so we're supposed to storm the gates of hell. If the whole world is in control of the evil one, that Jesus said the whole world is in control of the evil one, we are living in the middle of his kingdom, yet we have the kingdom of God in us. And so wherever we step, our goal, our mission as a part of this team is to depopulate Satan's kingdom, to bring as many people as possible away from this team that is ultimately going to lead to death, this kingdom that's going to lead to death, this family that's going to lead to death, and bring them to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life. in God. So how do we do that? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says this, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we have divine power to demolish strongholds." In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God. That's our equipment. That's what we play with. And then I love, though, at the end of Ephesians 6, after he's talking about the armor of God, he closes by talking about prayer. Prayer is how we do that battle. Prayer is how we fight in this war. This is how we fight for God's team. Ultimately, how we fight is to follow God, to lean on Him, to pray for Him to work, and to live in obedience to Him, and let Him do the fighting. We are the ones who live in obedience, that He uses us as instruments, but ultimately, the battle is His. Those that are being baptized today are declaring that they are part of God's team. And let me tell you something. This means you will have a target painted on your back. Big red target. Because you've switched teams. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Let's clarify something. Satan can't be in all places at all times. He's not as powerful as God. But he does have angels who fail with him. Demons who are studying us. Who know our weaknesses. Who are watching us from a distance. And they're looking to try to lead us into temptation. They want to take you out. Make no doubt about it, they want to kill you. And their way of killing you is not to make your heart stop beating. They don't have that power. They don't have power to do things like that. But the way they want to kill you is they want to lead you into temptation, into sin. So they will put things in your path. There'll be thoughts that come to your mind that are not from God and they're not from you. We've got to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That's what Paul says. We have that power through Christ at work in us. But these demons, they're wanting to lead you into sin. And it might not seem bad doing that one sin, but then that one sin leads into another sin and into another sin and another sin. And all of a sudden, your heart that was once turned towards God, all of a sudden, you've switched teams again and you went back to the enemy's team. And you're fighting on behalf of the enemy. You're creating more chaos and more pain and more hurt in this world. And it's leading more and more people astray, leading more and more people to death. We, as Christians, must stay on God's team and fight with the weapons that God has given us. And I've got a spoiler alert for you. God's team wins. In fact, in Revelation 20:10, we read the devil's ultimate fate. "Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now don't think the devil doesn't know this. The devil has access to these scriptures too. He knows the scriptures, in fact. He knows that this is his ultimate fate, which is exactly why he is fighting so hard to try to lead you astray and trying to lead the world astray. Because he knows his time is short and he will continue to ramp up those attacks and he'll continue to try to lead more and more people today. But one day he knows he will lose this war. Ultimately, one day it will be too late. He'll no longer be able to win anybody over because those that are followers of Jesus will have the victory. So those that are being baptized today are declaring to the world that they are on the winning team. That victory is theirs through Jesus Christ. That they have won the victory over death, over sin, over darkness, over the enemy. And that they will be a part of the winning team at the end. That they will have eternal life. Welcome to the team of champions. Now, all of this happens when you come to faith in Jesus, not at the act of baptism. That's what we're celebrating today, is that this has already happened. But let me close by talking about something that I think will help you remember what you are declaring in baptism. And for all of us, what happens when you become a believer. Let me talk to you about the crown, the table, and the jersey. Should have a slide up there, the crown, table, and jersey. When you follow Jesus, you repent of your sins and turn to Him, you're declaring that you are following someone wearing a different crown. I was going to actually have these things up here, but I decided to just put it on there. But for the devil's crown, I was going to get one little paper crown, because he's a false king. His rule and authority is limited by the one that we know is the King of Kings. In fact, I want to read a scripture to you. His authority has been thwarted by the King of Kings. I want to read to you a vision that John saw in Revelation 19. This is one of the battles that takes place in the end. John says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Those that are being baptized today, those that have come to faith in Jesus, they have declared that they are following someone wearing a different crown. In fact, he's the only one deserving of wearing a crown. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Second thing I want to talk to you about is the table. Families share meals around tables. You are sitting at the table with the devil. I can guarantee you that his food was not very good. Jesus has set up a different table for you to come to. You ever in school, you wish you could be at the cool kids' table? You know, I was always a little bit of an outcast, and so I would be sitting with nobodies. And I always wish I could go to that table. Well, I can guarantee you the people in the pits of hell wish they were sitting at a different table. Right. You have an opportunity to go to a different table. And I hope that you're sitting at the table of God as a member of His family, belonging there. I've sat at tables where I didn't belong either, where I didn't feel like they loved me, where they didn't feel like they cared about me, but there's a different table that we're able to sit at, and it's the family of God. Last thing I want to talk to you about is the jersey. Everybody has a jersey on today, whether they realize it or not. It's a spiritual jersey. And on the front, it either has Satan's team or God's team. There's no middle ground. When you come to faith in Jesus, you take off Satan's jersey. And you say, "I'm no longer playing for that team." And you put on the jersey of God, the armor of God is your jersey. And you're declaring that you are playing as a member of God's team today, and that your goal, your mission is to make disciples and to bring as many people away from the other team, from Satan's team, into God's team. And so my encouragement for you today is this. Pick a side. And no choice is a choice in terms of your choosing to be on Satan's team. if you are here today, you now know you have a choice. And you have to decide which side you're going to be on, and you're the only one responsible for that decision. I'm not responsible for your decision. No one else in this room is responsible for your decision. You are responsible for your decision. And one way leads to death, one way leads to life. I pray that today, if you know that you are on the wrong side, that you would choose. Jesus has made a way for you to choose. Those that are being baptized today are publicly declaring that they are a part of God's side. My question for you today is, will you join them? I'm not going to give you an opportunity to respond right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond when we get out there. Maybe you came in today and you weren't planning on being baptized. But maybe you're declaring today, I'm switching sides. We have towels for you. You'll dry off. But what a bold declaration today to the world. And I can guarantee you the forces of darkness are watching us right now. What a bold declaration to say, I'm no longer on your team. Leave me alone. I'm on the winning team. I'm on the team of champions. You can choose that today because of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.